I'm Cecilia, compulsive overeater. I'd like to start with the Serenity Prayer quick. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Okay, I have been in, my camera is off. There. I have been in OA, it'll be 8 years actually in January, and I've maintained a loss of 40 pounds. But I was in Al-Anon like 40 years before that. I just turned 71. My father was an alcoholic, siblings, and I married once. So I'm very overqualified for that program. What do you call? The thing, I always felt fat. I'm not a 100-pounder. But I felt like one, like whatever weight I was at the time was too much. Now, when I'd look back on a picture 10 years ago, I'd say, oh, I wasn't too bad, but it would just keep going. I'd get 10 years older, look back, oh, I wasn't that bad, but wherever I was just not, it was too much. And a big struggle of mine actually with the program has been finding a food plan. And I'm going to be touching on that some. I finally have been on a stable food plan for a while, and it was a struggle to get there. And let me share, our literature describes a food plan. This is from Voices of Recovery on page 46. A food plan is a set of circumstances that signals my undeniable need for a higher power. Food plan is a set of circumstances that signals my undeniable need for a higher power. I don't know if it's all over the country or the world, but in Ohio, where I live, on the roads, they put these rumble strips. Like they chew up the cement or, you know, a little bit. And if you get going over too far, you know, your car, and it kind of wakes you up and it says, whoa, going outside your lane. That's what a food plan is for me. Okay, I kind of go along. And when I go outside my food plan, I get that signal that something's going on with me. And I need to ask questions like, okay, what's going on in my life? What am I feeling? Why am I obsessing over that particular food or whatever? I've also read that I'll always be subject to periodic bouts of insanity, like the whiskey and the milk, right? Like the jaywalker. That's part of my disease. I can go along and be doing things fine. And at some point I'll be like, oh, I could go. I could have a second. I could have more. I could, okay, I'm just obsessing or thinking or even acting sometimes outside of my food plan. I don't know who discovered water, but it probably was not a fish. And in the same way, I cannot rely on myself to recognize insanity. Later, maybe I can, looking at a journal, I can, sharing in a meeting, I can, but in the moment, it will seem perfectly reasonable to me. And so the set of circumstances, and that can be within the food plan. My food plan kind of evolved, my abstinence evolved, you know, at first it was 3 times a day, and then it became certain food choices, and then it became, over years, weighing and measuring. And I had said I would never do that, but I found that I wanted to. I found I was shortchanging myself for some foods, and that was really the motivator to want to, to want to measure my food. So it has evolved. And at first I thought I had to find a food plan. It wasn't working. Oops, I made a mistake. No, I like that idea of evolution. And that includes not only what my body is doing and where it's going, but also my spirit. Also, so the set of circumstances that signal my name, my need for higher power, it can be not just the food plan. It can be the meetings that I regularly attend. And when I don't want to attend, like I'll say on Saturday, I skipped my normal morning meeting. It was a sign that I had so much people time on Thursday, and that was part of it. And I saw that, but it signaled to me that I needed to check in with my higher power and make sure what are my motives. Sometimes I can even do the right thing, but my motives are so whopper jaw, it really is not the healthy thing for me to do. Some other triggers can be, my daily inventory, my calls to my sponsor, and so forth. I love service. Devotion to service is huge. When I'm doing too much, that can be a signal for me that I'm acting in a somewhat insane manner. I'm getting here. Where to go? It's like I'm through with this. Part of my insanity, I'm going to tell a story. And this is, I was 30s, early 30s. And we went to an amusement park near here. And we went into the bathroom, which was just kind of weird, the way the mirrors were and everything. And I remember looking in a mirror and saying, now, if my legs were like that, I'd be satisfied. And then I moved and realized I was seeing my own reflection, that somehow the mirrors, and I went, oh my God. And I walked out of there saying, I wish my thighs were a little bit thinner. In the face of absolute objective, you are okay, my disease jumped in and said, no, you are not okay. And that's I went on and I could see what I was doing, and I could kind of say it was insane, but I just put aside the fact of my gut reaction and I just put that aside and went toward my need to be not enough. I have, God, I feel like I blew through this so fast. How much time do I have to go? Just so I know.
You have 12 minutes and 19 seconds.
Seconds to go. Okay, good. I probably am not going to go all that time. I wanted to share this with you. I hope you can see it. It's two circles that intersect. It's a Venn diagram. And the top one is the right thing to do. And the bottom one is out of my comfort zone, makes me uncomfortable. And where the two of those overlap, that's where my growth occurs. I have to be doing the right thing because sometimes I can push myself out of my comfort zone, just because I think I have to. And sometimes I can live and do the right thing, but I'm very comfortable and I'm turning a wheel and I really don't have to, stretch out on that very much. But to seek that space that makes me a little uncomfortable, and I think you've heard, at least I've heard in program, don't say no. If I'm asked to do something, now I have to make sure my motives are good. But if my motive is simply, I'm not sure that I feel comfortable doing that, then that's probably not a good enough reason to say no. My mind is absolutely going blank, and I apologize for that. I wanted to mention motives because those are huge to me. I can do all kinds of right things for the wrong reasons, and that's very, very, very difficult. I use Al-Anon, and I don't hear it mentioned in our program a lot, but my daughter, don't tell her, is very obese. She knows that. I feel so guilty. I mean, I'm kind of, it's a codependent relationship and a codependent thing. I don't talk about my program a lot. She doesn't ask. She knows I've been in 12 steps since she was small. She went into some 12 step for Al-Anon for her dad and so forth. And it's something we don't talk a lot about in these rooms, is the people around us who may have our disease and how we react to them, especially when they're in recovery. That is just something to deal with. Whereas my son is like, he can save, get two portions of dessert for and save one for later. I mean, come on, is that crazy? He's a whole different kind of insanity, right? If he can put one aside and have it tomorrow, that's a whole different way to go about it. At work, I was really successful. I needed a control. I really wanted my thing to service, my thing of people pleasing served me very well in this large corporation that I was at. And then, with my husband being an alcoholic, I went to a counselor who was familiar with 12-step program, and I was looking at taking another job, and he had me take this quick test, fill in these things. And he looked at it and he said, "Okay, now this and this and this, that would fill in, that would make sense for your new job. And do you see these three bars here where you scored 100 out of 100? That's your codependent, your codependency." And I went, "What?" Because my codependency had to do with my alcoholic, and at work I was just fine. Thank you very much. And that really woke me up to how much my codependency, and it's all tied to this idea again of never being enough, of doing things from wrong motivation, of needing to be in control, because if I'm not, then things will go sideways and bad things will happen. And it really, it took me from going to one meeting a week to going to seven meetings a week for 3 years. And I'm still going to three face-to-face meetings a week. I just need that sort of balance. I need the support and the inspiration that I get at meetings to help me feel okay. Because left to my own devices, I will begin to feel more and more and more not enough. So I am going to wrap this up early. I wish you all to feel enough today and whatever you take on. I guess, did you think of any set of circumstances that might be helpful triggers to adopt, or things that you're doing that work that you've never thought of in that way before? Here's a set of things. And with that, I pass. Thank you so much.